everyone. Welcome to the Drunken Whalers, a podcast where we get drunk and talk about Dishonored. I'm Claire, and I'm joined, as always, by Sarah.
Hello, and Claire didn't forget to say her name, so I guess she's more valid than me,
is what we've decided. I am more valid than you, sorry.
That's fine. I can accept that.
That's good. That's good. I'm happy for you, being number two and all.
Wow.
Dust District.
Yeah, we're doing the Dust District. I played the beginning of this mission like 2 weeks ago, and the rest of it this morning. This will be great and very fun.
I played it very, very slowly, and I did consider just doing the cheat code, the Jindosh lock, and just leaving.
Just be like, okay, well, we did it, folks. We did it, folks. Yeah.
And then I decided that would be cheating, so here I am.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So Dust District. I did write down this opening.
Bring it up. Yes, I did too. Or I did one of them, which I think is the only one. I didn't check that hard, though.
I did check, and mine was the same.
Okay, I'll just assume that that's right. I was very busy. I was playing so much Fire Emblem.
You're valid. I don't understand it, but you're valid.
Yeah. That's.
All I know is that there's, like, some dude named Edgelord, and that's all I've got.
Her name is Edelgard, fuck off.
Okay, whatever.
She's my favorite, which is very predictable.
That's so funny. Okay, Edgelord. Sorry, I'm gonna read this thing.
Okay, read it.
Before we go on a 20-minute tangent about Fire Emblem.
I think the people want to know my Fire Emblem opinions, but no, we shouldn't.
No. Okay, so the opening dialogue for Corvo is, in both Low and High Chaos, 3 years ago, Delilah was laying her plans. The Duke's people gathered at the home of a minor baron named Aramis Stilton to commit some horror in her name. I need to know how they made her immortal. But where was I 3 years ago? Letting Emily daydream through council meetings, teaching her fencing and back alley fighting? I always expected an enemy we could put down with a sword. Soldiers, spies, assassins. Instead, we got something else. Beyond the pale. Beyond the natural world. Instead, we got hit by someone like me. Alright, Corvo.
Alright, Corvo, you probably should have expected that, but...
I don't know how you didn't, but okay.
That's fine. It's fine. Sometimes you just wish that the world could be normal again, and it can't.
R.I.P., dude.
Okay, so Emily's intro in probably both Low and High Chaos is... For several years, Delilah's been here, getting stronger, turning people against me. Why didn't I see it coming? What was I doing during that time? Pretending to listen at court, ruling through an army of bureaucrats, waiting for the next chance to get free of Dunwall Tower. Well, now I'm free. If only I could go back. Aramis Stilton was once an ally of the Duke, the owner of Karnakka's mines. Stilton lived in a fortified bunker at the heart of the Dust District. No one's seen him for years. Since around the time Delilah started making her moves. But whether Stilton's alive or dead, his home holds the key to Delilah's immortality.
Hmm.
That's good.
What a fun mystery we have to solve. But not yet.
I know, it's like all these intros about Aramis Stilton, it's like, hey, wait a minute, you gotta get there first.
I know, they're like, yeah, let's go find out what happened to the intriguing Aramis Stilton. But just kidding, we have to make you do a whole ass mission to get to his house.
Uh-huh. Or do some math. Not math. Or do a puzzle.
Do a logic puzzle. Yeah.
So Sokolov is, like, the only person on the boat right now.
Yes.
Which is terrible.
Yeah. If you go to Hypatia's room, you can find an audiograph from her. It's empty now. Basically, she says, thank you, I'm clear-headed, I'm gonna return to my work. Given who you are and what you're in Karnakka to do, I can only say... good luck.
you do you. I'm gonna go do my job, though.
Yeah. And then she says she'll send something special by way of courier, and she hopes it helps. I don't know what that is.
Me either, because I'm on my save where I killed her, so.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Yeah. Sorry, Hypatia.
She's a cool lady.
She's a cool lady, but this is just where I'm at now, and I'm not replaying it in Low Chaos.
That's fair. But yeah, so, and then you can also go up to Megan's bunk. And listen to her audiograph there.
And it's sad. Did I write it down? It was like, It's about how she used to be friends with Stilton, right?
Yeah, I did write. I didn't write it down. I went to the wiki and copied it because they have a list of all the audiographs.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the easy way to do it.
I will read it for you.
Thank you.
So the Royal Protector is headed into the Dust District. Corvo says he hasn't been back in a long time, and I can't blame him for that. According to Sokolov, he'll be trying to get into Aramis Stilton's house. Not easy, I've tried. Stilton was a friend. Even as a mine owner, he was a good man who came up from working people and never forgot it. I went looking for him the night he disappeared, but the house was swarming with the Grand Guard. I showed them what I was worth, but it cost me. I'll live to see that score settled.
And
which
what it
we can't
you.
Talk about it yet, but...
I mean, I feel like it's... whatever, okay. So, yeah, so Aramis and Billy were pals.
And some shit went down.
Some shit went down. Aramis is the only valid capitalist in the world. I mean...
He's an okay person, but I will not call him a good capitalist.
He's doing... Well, he was doing his best.
It's very blatant, this whole mission. Like, all the miners are like, oh yeah, under Aramis Stilton, the mines were a great place to work. I'm like, I don't know about this, but okay.
I know. Well, it's like, well, he was a miner, so it's like, it's certainly better than, like, who's... Is this just the Duke running them now?
I think so. Yeah. Whatever. They need a miners union.
isn't what's her name? Pastor? Isn't she, like, the head of the union?
I don't know if it's, like, actually a union and, like, has any actual power or if it's just a bunch of unhappy people.
I mean, yeah, I don't know.
Because I don't think she's a minor.
No, she's just chilling.
She's just chilling. Anyways.
Yeah.
We'll get there. You get to go talk to Sokolov. It's unfortunate.
He's, like, touching up his Delilah painting for some reason.
I know. Basically, Corvo shows he's like, I gotta know what went down 3 years ago and at the Stilton Mansion. And Sokolov was like, cool. Have fun.
Yeah. Yeah, like, have fun. There's, like, a big lock on the door that Jindosh builds. It's super hard to break, and no one can break it.
That's pretty much, yeah, the base of it. They tell you this, like, a billion times, so I guess we'll get it out of the way now. Sokolov, and also Megan, and also, like, 20 other people will tell you that the Dust District, where we're about to go, is divided into two territories, one being... the Howlers gang, and the other being the Overseers.
Yeah.
And everyone will be like, well, I don't know how you're going to get into the Stilton Manor, but, like, if you kill one of those gang leaders and bring it to the other, he'll probably help you out.
Yeah, it's like, you get told that in, like, so many different ways. It's, like, very... It's, like, I was just, like, talking to one of the Howlers at the beginning of their territory, and he was like, listen, I'm not letting you in unless you, like, come here with, like, Vice Overseer Byrne himself. It's like, okay, yeah. I'll go get him.
Why not?
So
Sokolov will, Sokolov will row you to the Dust District, and he'll tell you a little bit about Stilton. I don't remember what he says. I wrote down that Stilton is a class traitor.
I mean, you're not wrong. That's also the episode title.
Thank you. But basically, he was, like, from a good mining family, and he's a decent dude, but he just got really rich.
Yeah, and what I wrote, I found my notes on this, and what I wrote down is that he said Stilton was an ally to the old Duke, and what I wrote was ally in huge quotes. that's one way to put it, Sokolov.
Wow, I can't believe I missed that.
yeah, they were in love, to be clear.
Yeah, they were... very canonically.
This will come up later.
Yes, canonically, they were in love. Sokolov will also tell you about the new Duke, Luca?
Yeah, Luca.
And Corv was like, oh, he's, like, awful. And Sokolov was like, yeah, he's awful, but, like, Dunwall supports him. I hate you, Sokolov, but you made a point there.
Yeah, and, like, when he's talking to Emily, and he's like, yeah, the Duke runs the, you know, the mines, and he sucks. And Emily's like, I suppose the Duke doesn't care as long as he sips from silver cups. And Sokolov's like, and what are the cups at Dunwall Tower made of, Empress?
I fucking love that line.
It's like a really sick burn. It's really good.
Heartbreaking. The worst person you know just made an excellent point.
Literally. It's like a simple, yeah. I hate you, but you are correct.
It's the worst. So yeah, he'll drop you off and you can go find Megan, who will also tell you that you should kill one of either Paolo the gang leader or Vice Overseer Liam Byrne. Yes. To get into the mansion.
Also, I don't understand why Megan was here, but, she was, waiting for you in, an abandoned building. It was never clear to me, why that happened, but she's just hanging out.
I don't know at all. It's, not clear. It's, you could have just told me this in the boat. You didn't have to be here.
You didn't have to make me talk to fucking Sokolov.
Yeah. On your way to go see Megan, you'll have to get past a wall of light, and you'll see, beginnings of the Dust District, which is... I don't really know a lot about mines, but it feels like this is a really high up mine.
Well, because it's, isn't the thing that it's, the wind that always comes down, is it because it comes, through Shinde Ray Peak or whatever? I don't actually understand, I don't understand geography, but I don't know.
I think the wind does that. I think the dust is a side effect of how much, how much... Luca Bell is, overworking the mines.
I just mean, aren't they mining, into a mountain, basically? I don't really understand how mines work.
Neither of us understand how mines work. The point is, you can go, up this alleyway, and you'll come out at, a very high point. It's quite beautiful, actually.
Oh, yeah, it's a very good view.
It's a beautiful view of, the ocean and, the lower towns.
And then a horrible sound starts and dust blows everywhere and it's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, so it turns out the thing about the Dust District is that, every 10 or so minutes, an alarm will sound that sounds like whoa.
It's like brrr. It's like the worst noise in the world. It makes me miserable.
It sounds kind of like a whale. I don't hate it. we'll make a whoa noise. And there will be, a huge dust storm, which... is actually incredibly convenient because you can still see kind of okay in a dust storm, and no one else can.
Yeah, so if you're, in a gunfight, it's pretty okay.
Yeah, or, even if there's just, two people and they're looking at each other and you want to kill them, wait a few minutes and a dust storm will come by and you can just go do it. Yeah, you can also find randomly in this area. Well, actually, so first there's a wall of light, and a bunch of guards are talking about how none of them are going to go through the wall of light because it's basically there's a gang war going on right now.
Yeah,
and they're
like,
losing men
to the
gang war.
We don't get paid enough to deal with that shit.
So I was like, okay, I mean, I don't really know. I was very confused. It's like, do the Grand Guard and the Overseers not work with each other?
I guess. I feel like Sir Konos, the Overseers are, kind of like a Dunwall-y thing, or like a Gristle thing, so I feel like maybe they're not as, embedded in the government, and they're kind of their own, faction.
That makes sense. Yeah, it's, also, not clear to me how they work together.
Yeah, and well, because, they talk later, if you go, hang out at the Overseer outpost, they're the Duke fucking hates us, basically.
That's kind of funny.
Because I guess he's working with, Delilah, who is just only black magic.
That's fair!
It's yeah, I can see how this isn't working out for you guys, but you still stuck.
Mm. So yeah, so you can go through the Wall of Light, you can find a book on symptoms of the miners, presumably from silver dust in their lungs. It's just, a bunch of bad symptoms, but Corvo picks it up and says, I'd love to put this through Delilah's head.
Oh my god.
I know.
I mean, sure.
So silly. So then you can go say hi to Megan, and she'll tell you what everyone's telling you, and she will also tell you that if you decide to kill Paolo, you gotta do it twice.
Yes.
Because he's got some magic that doesn't let him die. And you're like, wow, wish I had known that when I stabbed him.
And he turned into rats?
And he turned into a bunch of rats, four missions ago.
Yeah, it's like, oh damn, that was weird. Suddenly I understand everything.
Yeah. So, and then, yeah, then you can go just fuck around in the Dust District. Yes. Right in front of you immediately is the gate to Ervis Stone's house.
Yes.
Because if you can crack open his lock, you could just skip the whole mission.
You don't have to do any of it. You could just solve his fucking mind game riddle. It's not that hard, really.
It's not... hard. It's just, like, time-consuming.
Yeah, and apparently no one in Karnaca has ever thought to do it, so that's fine. Yeah. It's, like, it's really funny, because there's, like, two people standing in front of it, like, kind of trying to break in, and this is, like, neutral territory, so you can just walk around and people won't try to stab you. Mm-hmm. And the guy talking to the locksmith lady is like, I heard that it's just a gimmick and that he, like, wasn't really a locksmith that made it. And she's like, no, Jindosh was really smart. Like, it's definitely the real deal.
Yeah. She also's like, yeah, I'm not gonna try to open it because that dude makes killing machines. I like my hands attached to my body, basically.
So that's, you know, that's valid.
Yeah.
So if you go up to it, it's like a lock that has, like, five different slots with, like, a name and an item, and then there's a little riddle next to it about, like, which name goes with which item. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, one of those things where if you just, like, draw a grid and, like, make inferences, you can, like, figure it out in, like, half an hour.
Yeah, it's, like, I'm trying to... I mean, like, it's basically a logic puzzle. Like, the famous logic puzzles, like, Einstein's one about who owns the zebra. But basically, it's all stuff like, oh, the Countess in purple was sitting next to the Countess, or, like, was sitting next to the visitor from Dunwall. And, like, a bunch of clues like that, that basically, if you really work at it...
Yeah, it's just, like, a very complicated one, because it's, like, it's described very vaguely, and there's, like, five different attributes.
Yeah. But, like, not impossible.
No.
Like, definitely not.
But, definitely not impossible. You get an achievement if you do it.
So basically the game taunts you and is like, can you fucking solve this logic puzzle? It'll probably take you roughly the same amount of time as it'll do to do the mission.
Rude.
Like, fuck you, I want the achievement. So you sit there and you get out your fucking pieces of paper and you start over like three or four times because you fucked up. And eventually you can get into the fucking mansion without doing the rest of this actual mission. But, you know, yep. We're dedicated, so we did the rest of the actual mission.
So we won't end the episode here, even though you could just not do the Dust District.
Yeah. Which I do think is the funniest fucking thing.
It's very funny. It's, like, very good game design, actually. It's, like, if you don't want to, like, you don't have to. Like, we're not gonna make you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I did want to, so I left.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is, like, a big, like, neutral area, and there's a big statue of Theodonis Abel, who is Luca's father, the former duke. And if you go look at it, Emily, like, saw it, like, High Chaos Emily looked at it and was like, you should have strangled, like, Luca in the tub, old man. It's like, Jesus Christ.
Wow, okay.
The High Chaos lines are very funny.
They're just so extra.
And, like, the Duke was making more announcements, but I didn't, like, write any of them down. I think he was just being a dick, as he is.
The only one I noticed was the one that said he was at war with the Northern Isles. And I was like, what does that mean? Does that mean, like, Dunwall?
That is to the north of Sir Konos, right?
Yeah, but they're in the same empire. And as far as I'm aware, they're not at war, considering the Duke is on Delilah's side. So I was like... What the fuck?
I don't know.
What the fuck? Yeah, no idea. So, yeah. So, possibly we're at war. Who knows?
It's fine, probably.
Yeah. So, okay. Who did you decide to kill if you decided to kill anyone?
I killed Burn first and then went back. I just wanted to see what the other scene was like. And so I killed Paolo. And I was gonna do the third option that there is, but that I sounded like a lot of effort, so I just read about it on the wiki.
I decided to kill Paolo.
That's valid. It's like, killing Paolo is, like, technically harder, because you have to do it twice.
I mean, yeah, but I've killed him more times, because I'm always, like, having a, like, well, so if you go, like... Throughout this level, you can either go up to the Crone's Hand Saloon, which is Howler territory, and Paolo is there, or you can go up to this really bizarre-looking overseer compound. It kind of looks as if, like, a ship just, like, smashed into the mountain.
And they were like, okay, we're building a compound here.
It's so weird. I guess it's, like, their way of keeping people out. So you can either go to the compound or the saloon, and I've just gone to the saloon more times because Paolo has the outsider shrine.
That's true, yeah. So it's like you kind of have to go there anyway. And also, like, it's really annoying because it's like, if you want to do, there, like, there is a third option that, like, no one really tells you about. But, well, actually, you can hear about it if you're, if you hang out and talk to the lockpick people. They'll be like, oh, I heard that one of Paolo's subordinates, like, comes and goes from here to, like, feed, to, like, right. food for Stilton. So he must have the code. And so you get a little hint that's like, oh, go find that dude. But it's like, in order to do that, you have to go back and forth between the saloon and the overseer compound a couple times. And it's, like, very annoying. Because yeah. no matter what, one of those people is going to want to kill you.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm gonna go in order. I'm gonna go from Paolo to Burn, just because that's the easiest way to divide it up.
That's valid.
So if you go through, like, Howler territory, you can find, like, you can find his saloon. I also forgot, there is in the center of this, in neutral territory, there's sort of, like, an underground section that's, like, the miners. Like,
oh, yeah,
it's, like,
the
miners'
kitchen.
Union, but it's kind of also, like, a soup kitchen, and you can talk to Lucia Pastor, who tells you, if you're not a miner, you can't get free soup.
Yeah, she's like, fuck off.
She's like, you're clearly not a miner, so go away.
It's like, yeah, I mean, you're right.
Yeah. And if you go to the black market there, you can see two of Paolo's men threatening the black market shopkeep.
Oh, I forgot there was a black market here. I didn't go.
I also, like, I only went and looked at that. So, yeah, so those are the, like, it's pretty much just neutral territory. There's nothing really here. You can give a coin to, like, one of the men in the union, and he'll tell you that there's a back entrance to the saloon, which I never use. I gave him the coin anyways, but I've literally never once gone through. He's like, yeah, you can go through the basement. I was like, never have done that.
Never will do. Yeah, usually I just go through the Bloodfly apartment, because, you know.
I also go through the Bloodfly apartment. So, yeah, to get easily into, like, the Howler territory, you can go through a Bloodfly-infested apartment. And you can just sneak out some windows and then go to a different apartment that ends up being, like, Paolo's apartment. So
yeah. It's like, oh, yeah, I guess his apartment's just, like, above
the saloon, basically.
Yeah. Oh, so, yeah. And also, the Bloodfly apartment is infested because that person got some bad mutton as, like, payment for being a doctor. Oh. Which is my favorite. It's like, if you, like, read their little note, they're like, oh,
it's,
yeah,
like,
I got...
their accounting log, basically.
Yeah, they're like, oh, I got some mutton that was, like, off, so I think I'm gonna, like, boil it, so I'll just do that when I have the time, and, like, in case it's infested. It's like, well, clearly that worked out for you, sir.
R.I.P.
Alright, I love the fact that every Bloodfly, like, apartment is just, like, someone was just, like, really dumb, and then they died.
Yeah.
It's like, this
or they
is
turned
a bad
into
city.
A nest keep. They might have turned into a nest keeper, because there is, like, a nest keeper in here who I did
Oh, yeah,
know.
I hated it.
Yeah, they were so freaky. So, yeah. Yeah, so, you can, like, if you go this way through the windows up to Paolo's apartment, like, you can find, like, his bedroom and offices on the first, like, the top and second top floors, third and fourth or whatever. And you can also find an outsider shrine.
Yay! Yeah, and he has a painting of himself, and he has a painting of Vera More.
Yes, the painting of himself is named Paolo and the Inaccessible Cardinal, which I
okay.
don't... And, then Vera More in the affix of her skin, which... When you pick it up, Corvo says, Vera Moray, that name's familiar. And I'm like, dude? do you not know?
I know, yeah, Emily says the same thing. It's like, I assume Corvo's just like, ah, oh, yeah, that bitch.
Yeah.
Remember that time she tried to eat a guy?
Because it makes sense if Emily's like, oh, that name's familiar. But I'm like, Corvo, you literally fought her. You burned her cameo. You saved Slackjaw. You saw her rooms.
Like, I guess it was 15 years ago. A lot of stuff happened.
I don't know that I would forget a witch trying to eat a man.
It's true. So I just realized why the saloon is called Crone's Hand, and yeah. Paolo was, like, on some shit.
I know.
Way to name your fucking saloon, dude.
Yeah, so if you pick up the ruins of the Outsider Shrine, the Outsider will appear and say, and he only has one option for the whole thing. He will say, in case you're wondering, Paolo's not one of those unhinged cultists who believe I'll grant them favors if they leave a big enough offering or play just the right musical notes. He doesn't care a fig for me, but he put up this shrine because he found the hand of an old witch I once knew, and Paolo saw right away that it pays to have an edge. Sometimes pieces of us linger long after we're gone. The Duke inherited a vibrant city and wasted no time stripping it to the bone. What will he leave behind? And what about you? Who will you leave to pick up the pieces here in the Jewel of the South? So that's fun foreshadowing.
That's fun, yeah, because basically whatever you do to the Dust District will have an effect on, like, in the end of the game,
yeah.
Like, what is happening in Karnaca, like, who's in control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, so basically, Paolo has a severed hand that belonged to an old witch.
Who could it be? How did he get it? Unclear.
And he named his fucking saloon after it.
I don't understand why having Granny Rags' hand makes him turn into rats when you stab him. I don't get it.
I don't know. I also don't know how he has her hand, considering all the times we've seen her, she's had all her hands.
I mean, it's like, it must have come from her dead body, but it's like, didn't we, like, set her on fire?
Yeah, just disappeared into, like, smithereens.
I don't know, I just think it's very funny that they were like, okay, like, we need Paolo to have some magical artifact. Let's give him Granny Rags' like, weird mummified hand. It's like, why? Like, why did you do that? It could have really been anything. Like, Brianna had, like, a bone charm that made her harder to kill. Like, I don't understand why it's her hand.
And it's the hand with the mark, too.
Oh, really? Yeah. There's a point. Ugh. I hate that part. It's grody. Yeah.
So, yeah. It's actually, like, Palace Saloon is pretty nice. It's got a lot of, like, really nice tile in it. You can see the Karnaca singers.
Yeah, they're, like, singing a song about the miners, I think.
This is my favorite song of theirs. It's good. So they're in the saloon. Paolo is talking to one of, I presume, a shopkeeper?
Yeah, because clearly there's, like, a racketeering thing going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't remember the details, but he, like, lays out a plan for, like, how if he's in control instead of the overseers and the Duke, like, things are gonna be a lot better for the miners. And the woman is like, okay, we'll up our payments, even though obviously no one can afford to do that.
Basically, Paolo's like, listen, like, as long as I'm in charge, it'll be fine. Which, okay, dude, that seems okay.
Yeah, there really is no good option here.
I mean, that's absolutely true.
Yeah, like, no matter who you kill, shit's gonna be bad.
Like, is Paolo valid? No. Are the overseers valid? Extremely
also
not.
No.
So, you know.
Yeah. And Paolo will just spend his time either sitting in a chair watching the Karnaca players or going down to his basement and, like, taunting an overseer who's trapped down there. And then, like, he doesn't, like, do anything. It's like, I watched because I was so sure that, like an interesting scene was going to play out. And he kind of just, like, fucks around. He's like, he's delirious. And then leaves.
Yeah, I think, because it's like, I think, like, when he, like, gets up from the little saloon area, he'll be like, oh, I'm stepping out for a minute. So it's like, if you're trying to, like, go kill him, you can go follow him and be sneaky.
Mm-hmm.
But it's
which,
like,
I've never done.
I know. It's like, I usually just shoot him in the head because he disappears then anyway.
Yeah, I do too.
So, it's like, if you shoot him, he turns into rats. And you can see that he reappears upstairs because the marker for where he is moves.
Yeah, he'll, like, reappear near the Outsider Shrine and you can just go up there and kill him again.
Yes,
and if you do,
the fucking mummified hand of Granny Rags jumps on you.
It'll try to attack you.
It, like, moves. I hate it. It's, like, the world's worst spider. And then she, like, Emily, like, throws it on the ground and steps on it like it's, like, a big spider.
Yeah, Corbin does the same. And he's like, Paolo has Granny Rags' hand?
Like, what the fuck?
So, that's fun.
Yeah. And then body's just there.
And yeah, you can pick it up, take it out the window, and carry it over to Vice Overseer Liam Byrne. Do want to do this non-lethally, there's an office upstairs that has, like, a note pinned to it that's basically like, hey, so, I can't remember his name, Durante. Taken by the overseers, so you're in charge, like, figure out how to get this office open, find the key, start taking food to Aramis Stilton, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, and so basically it's like, if you go to the overseer's outpost, you can find, like it'll be like, okay, if you go over there, you can figure out what happened to Durante and, like, get the key to this room. yeah. so that you can get the code.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in the office, there's also, once you go back to, when you go all the way over there, all the way back, because they don't really make it easy to be a good person.
I mean, you know.
So you go all the way there, and all the way back. Yeah, there's also, I mean, like, you don't have to do this either way, though presumably it's a good thing, but, like, there is an option that appears, because you can find the code here, but there's also, like, a note about, like, sending two men to the mines, because two howlers got taken in to the mines, and they're offering a trade to get them back.
Yeah, basically it's, like, with the note is, like, a key to the Silvergraf studio, and, like, the dude's like, okay, like, go take two bodies, put them in the box, because we need, like, or not bodies, like, two people, and, like, put them in the box, and, like, you know, we'll switch them out.
Yeah.
And it's, like, it is interesting to me, because it's, like, if you've gotten in here, like, the code's, like, you have the code, like, you don't have to, like, ship them off to the mines.
You don't, but it's always interesting, because it's, like, okay, I mean, presumably, well, something would happen if you got rid of two leaders of opposing factions, but, like, neither the Overseers or the Howlers really seem like the type to let that stop them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure, I personally think that Mindy could lead the Howlers and be fine.
Yeah, usually, I generally choose to not, to just go do the lock, because I always like, I don't want to, like, ruin Mindy's life.
I know. Yeah, it's like, I always forget that this, like, ship them off thing is possible.
Me too, because
I've never once done it, because it's, like, a lot of work.
I never have either, so, like, I'm gonna have to look up the ending for what actually happened.
I mean, it's like, I guess I assume, is it different than if you just kill both of them? Because also, you could just, like,
that's like, true.
Even if you kill one of them and help the other, you can also just kill the other one. Like, nothing stops you from doing that.
That's true. I don't know. We're gonna have an interesting time Googling this.
Yeah. But yeah, so you have Paolo's body. Let's go.
So then, yeah, you can just go walk to the Overseer compound, and one of them will be like, and they'll let you in. The downer of this plan is that if you walk into, like, the Overseer territory, one of the first things you see is two Overseers reading off a list of crime and shooting civilians.
Yeah, with the crimes such as stealing food.
Yes. Well, one of the crimes is owning items of a heretical or fetishistic nature.
Cool.
Yeah. So generally when I come this way, I shoot the two Overseers and, like, the civilians run away, and I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah. But if you do that,
then your carefully crafted plan doesn't work, because they're like, okay.
Then they kind of get mad at you, even if you are carrying the dead body of the gang leader into their house.
It's also the concept of, like, carrying a dead body of a rival gang member to, the entrance of their compound and being like, hey, let me in, and they're like, okay, is, like, so fucking funny.
I know. Like,
this is not a good city that you guys are running.
So what I did to get around this whole shooting people thing is I just went and stood in front of the gun when the Overseer was trying to shoot them.
Did that work?
Yes!
Okay.
It didn't, it worked. They shot me, and I turned around, and the guy was still standing there, so I went and did it again. But when they tried to shoot the second one, the woman, it was as if I had attacked one of them, because they all went on high alert, and the civilians ran away, but because I didn't, they just kept walking around like, where did he go?
They were just, like, suddenly really stressed.
Yeah. They just kept walking around as if something had stopped them, but every time I talked to them, they're like, oh, yes, please go right on in with your dead body. So, that did work.
Good. So, good tip, everybody.
It was really funny. Yeah, so then you can just walk all the way into this fucking weird-ass compound up three flights of stairs and go talk with Vice Overseer Liam Byrne.
And be like, hey, I found your... Yeah, and he's, like, he's talking to some other official about, like, the Duke. It's not that interesting. I don't really care.
Yeah. The real downer of this is I actually kind of like Vice Overseer Liam Byrne because he's a really nice voice.
Yeah, his voice acting's really good. He's like a very like down to earth kind of dude, which is like usually the overseers you talk to are like quoting the scripture at you.
Yeah, they're like, and I did go around and talk to like a lot of them just because I was really curious. I was like, oh, I've obviously never talked to an overseer, and they pretty much all just quote like bad shit, bananas, like heretical, anti-heretical nonsense at you. But like, you know, Vice Overseer Liam Burton seems to have a good head on his shoulders. I'm like, okay, I don't know if I, like, trust you, but I'll give you this shot.
Yeah, like, maybe you'll be fine, I guess.
Yeah. And he is the one who deduced that something was wrong with the Sisters of the Oracular Order, which I'm honestly quite impressed with him for figuring that one out.
Yeah, that's true, that the creepy nuns are being creepier than normal.
Yeah, so, yeah, you show up, you're like, I'm just gonna... Actually, I think what Corvo does is he, like, throws the body on the
desk.
Yeah,
he just, like, fucking toss it on the ground. Yeah. He's like, garbage.
So, yeah, our dear old pal Liam is like, hey, solid, this is pretty cool. I have big plans for Karnaka.
Yeah.
Corvo says, okay, well, this is a means to an end for me. As if he's, like, not involved in the politics of Karnaka?
As if he doesn't care about Karnaka. As if he isn't apparently buddy-buddy with the overseer back home.
As if his daughter is not the empress? Like, it was just the weirdest thing. It's like, I feel like you should have made this decision on who to murder based on who you politically think would be best.
I guess he's basically just saying, like, listen, the Abbey still sucks.
I guess so. So yeah, basically, Liam's like, okay, clearly I owe you a favor, what do you want? Corvo's like, I want to get to Stilton's house. Liam is like, okay, there's something, like, really fucked up about that house. It's it's pretty concerning. And Corvo's like, cool, if you send me, I'll tell you what I see.
Yeah, like, I'll unfuck it for you.
It's like, I'm offering you a free dude to go inside that house and see what the fuck is going on, sir.
For the low, low price of don't kill me and give me the fucking combination.
Yeah. So yeah, he gives you the combination, and that's pretty much it. You can leave. You can steal the desk key. It's, like, right there.
Yeah, he doesn't care that you're just, like, taking shit off his desks, even though, you know, he's still like, you're kind of on thin ice.
Yeah.
So appreciate it, dude. That's a solid.
Yeah. Corvo says, like, I'll remember your help. And the overseer says, as will I, assassin. Which is, like, that's a pretty solid fucking line.
Yeah, Burn's pretty chill.
He's pretty cool. I like him. Like, as far as overseers go, he's the least awful one.
He is the least awful that you, like, ever meet.
Yeah. And then you can kind of go fuck around in, like, this overseer compound just to see what people are saying.
Yeah, there's, like, a rune in a like, closet that you can go get.
Yeah, it's, like, the confiscated room. One of the overseers told me, he's like, we all wear masks because we are part of a brotherhood, blah, blah, blah. I do not know the reason why you wear a mask. It's like, I don't have to fucking tell you, and mine's better anyways.
Fashion, bitch.
But yeah, mostly, every time I wander around the overseer compound, I'm like, I hate you guys, but, like, I also feel so bad that you're all brainwashed.
I know, it's like they get kidnapped as children. It's like all overseers suck, except they do 100% get kidnapped as children. So actually, it's like really bad.
Yeah, and there's like, you can actually find a list of like members who have died in the gang war, and there's like a group of three brothers on there. And I'm like, wow.
No, yeah.
All three got drafted.
If you've killed Overseer Burn, you get the option to write his name on the list.
Nice! So funny. Oh my god.
It's like really funny, and yeah, and like Emily says something about like, oh, like written by the hand that like squashed out your miserable life or something dramatic like that. Like, okay.
That's really funny though.
It's like, okay, but it's like same energy as like signing the guest book at Lady Boyle's party.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Just being like, he's dead, y'all.
Like father, like daughter. Yeah. But yeah, mostly, like, after that. Oh, no, there's one more thing. You can't go to Aramis Stilton's house yet. You can actually go find Corvo Atano's old apartment.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I didn't do this because it's a lot of work, but it's there.
Yeah. It's pretty empty. It's, like, it's really hard to find, actually. It's, like, down a very small alleyway and, like, up three flights. But you can break open the wood that's blocking the window and go in. And one thing we didn't mention is that, like, a lot of the apartments here are not only abandoned, but, like, covered in dust. Like, all the bottom
floors. Like,
all
piles.
All the bottom floors are, like, basically piled with dust about halfway up the walls.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not great.
So Corvo's abandoned home is no different. It is empty and it's overgrown, and you can find a couple of things in here. You can find Corvo's Blade Verbana trophy bricked up in the wall. And you can find his mom's diary.
It's so sad.
It's so sad. Basically, it's, like, written right after Corvo goes to Dunwall, and she's basically saying, she's like, I'm really proud of my son, but, like, I can't believe they took him. Like, he's set on a new path. I'm never gonna see him again. He didn't have a choice. Like, I always knew he was bound for greatness, but this is not what I wanted.
And it's, like, just, like, his sister who, like, has been gone because, like, Beatrice, like, disappeared. Like, this is her only other child. And, like, because she... Like, you know from, like, earlier, like, history books, like, she, like, died a couple of months after he went to Dunwall.
Yeah. And then, like, he never returned.
Yeah, he never saw her again, basically. So, feels great. Love it.
R.I.P. Paloma is her name. R.I.P. Paloma Atano. You could also find Mindy's tattoo parlor.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yes, yeah, this is actually the first time I found it.
Yeah, if you talk to her, if you go the other way inside with the howlers, you can talk to her, and she, like, offers to give you a tattoo.
Oh, I didn't talk to her. No.
Yeah, she's just, like, hanging up on the balcony, and she's like, oh, I can give you some, like, cool ass ink, basically. And, like, Emily's response was, I've already been marked, and once was enough. Which is very funny.
Fair enough, but damn, her tats are cool.
I know, so, she looks great.
You can go, like, into her tattoo parlor, and pretty much most of it is, like, easels and sketches of tattoos. You can actually see they have, like, the full art of her full sleeve tattoos up there.
Oh, yeah.
Which is super neat.
They're like, let's use this concept art.
Yeah. It's like, honestly, I'm here for it. If my tats were that cool, I'd put them up on the wall.
Yeah.
You can also find, like, a note... I think Mindy wrote, like, this note about Amadeo Monti, which is the dude with the tats who died.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, that guy. And you can also find a love letter to Mindy.
Hey.
I don't know who it's from. It's like, cool, I would honestly let you kill me as long as you thought about me for a day. It's like, let's see if I can find it. It was, like, kind of a great love letter.
Like, I mean, that's, like, about the energy, yeah.
Yeah. Pretty much it's like, yeah, I've seen you, like, kill men twice your size with almost nothing, but let's see. God. It's, like, such a horny love letter, honestly. But yeah, basically, like, it's just basically, like, damn, I'd fuck you.
Like, well, thanks, dude, I appreciate it, I guess.
Yeah. I'm desperate to know who wrote this.
I know, it's like, I mean, it could be anyone, really.
Yeah. But yeah, no, the last line is literally, maybe you'd shiv me in my sleep, but I won't care as long as you remember me for a few days.
Oh my god.
Which is, like, honestly a mood. I would do the same for Mindy.
It's like every Tumblr post about, like, some beautiful woman.
Yeah, like, well, here's this part in the middle for you is, there are tattoos across your shoulders and breasts, marks I want to trace and decipher, guessing at the meaning of each. This one is your first heartbreak, I imagine, and that one is for the first time you stab someone, you little savage.
Like, that is a horny love letter.
It's not even the horniest part. But yeah, no, it's like exactly like a Tumblr post. And I think that, I don't have anything else. I think after that I just went to... back to the gates.
Went to Stilton's place.
Yes.
And
to go see dear old Stilton.
Okay, so if you kill Burn instead, it's, like, kind of the same, because it's, like, you just go to the Overseer Outpost first, and so this is what I did first, and I, like, saved those guys from getting shot by just shooting the guys who were gonna shoot them.
Good job.
And, Yeah, there's, like, I'm trying to think if there's, like, anything, like, super interesting in the Overseer situation. There's, like, you can, like, overhear a guy who's, like, in the middle of dying and being mercy killed by his friend.
Oh, right, yes. I was wondering where he was, because I remembered...
Yeah, I couldn't find him. I just heard him.
He's, like, on the top floor. He's, like, on the top floor near where you have to go up to Vice Overseer Lamburn. But by the time, because I was walking slow because I was carrying a dead body, by the time I got back around to them, he'd already been mercy killed. Oh. And I was really confused because I was like, I was really confident that someone had been mercy killed here. But
like, there's just this dead body.
Yeah, I was like, there's just a dead body and this dude praying for his friend.
Yeah, oh yeah, I think I found the dude praying, I just didn't see the body. Yeah. But yeah, so you kill him, you hop out the window. There's, like, other dudes in his room, too, but I just kind of killed everyone, because that was the easiest way to do it.
Yeah. The two dudes who are, like, the other two dudes in a room have their backs to you because they're praying, so honestly, they're an easy kill.
That's what, yeah. So yeah, I pick him up, tried to leave stealthily, totally failed, ended up, like, running for my life through, like... through the Overseer territory. It was fine. But yeah, so basically take him over to the Howlers, and they again are like, hey, you have the dead body of our greatest enemy. We love you now. Except they mostly say things like, oh, like, you helped us, but I still don't trust you.
It's also, like, I feel like way more in character for, like, if I were in a gang, and I saw some dude approaching, carrying my boss's worst enemy dead, I'd be like, oh, he's got business with the boss. And I would step aside. Like, clearly man has done this for a reason, which is business with the boss.
Yeah.
Like, whether he was paid to do it, whether he did it to gain a favor, it's like, that's out of my purview.
Yeah, it's like this is a gang, this shit happens. It's like, I feel like this should be less common in religious orders.
Yeah, I hope it's less common in religious orders.
I mean...
clearly not.
But yeah, it's like, one of the ladies I talked to at the entrance to the whatever their territory was like, huh, walking around with Burn's body, bold. It's like, yeah, it is bold, thank you.
Yeah. I also, I didn't notice this until this time, but a lot of the Howlers wear, like, full, like ski masks, basically, with, like, goggles, presumably to keep the dust from getting into their eyes.
Well,
I never noticed that before, and it didn't help, like, them seeing me.
Don't they also have that, like, special attack where they throw, like, weird powder, like, hallucinogenic powder at you or something?
Yes. I think it makes you howl.
I thought that they just howled, because it was their war cry thing.
I don't know. I thought they had dust, like, howler's dust or something.
Yeah, but I think it, like, does something to you. I don't know, I didn't really fight them, or, like, because someone tells you about it at some point, but I, like, forgot. It was, like, a week ago.
Yeah, I thought it made, like, I think it's theoretically supposed to make, like, your eyes sting, but it doesn't work because we're in a video game.
Well, I think it, like, fucks up your screen briefly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's right. If you throw weird powder at someone, it doesn't work because you're in a video game.
Yeah.
Try doing that in real life. But, yeah, like... You basically go into the saloon, and this scene was, like, way more fun, I think, than the Overseer one, because it's, like, you walk up to the bar and, like... toss his body down across the bar and are like, hey, like, I brought you this. And Paolo's, like, behind the bar, and he's like, damn, I've been trying to kill that guy for months, and, like, pats his chest really aggressively. Pats Burns, like, dead body chest. But yeah, so Emily's like, hey, like, Paolo, you owe me now. And he, like, goes off on this monologue about how, like, Karnak is his home, and gestures dramatically at the painting behind him of Karnak. Because he's great. And he's like, yeah, so I'm gonna send this guy to Dunwall in a box to explain things to Abby and the Empress. And then, like, gets a bottle of liquor and pours it on him.
Fair enough.
I was like, are you gonna set him on fire? But no, he just did that. And he, like, writes the combination down and gives it to you. And so then you have it. And there's also, like, a bust of Stilton here, so if you examine it, you can talk to Paolo about it.
Oh, that's kind of neat. What's he say?
Basically, he's like, oh, yeah, Aramis Stilton's, like, in his, like, mansion or whatever, and he basically is just like, yeah, that place has bad vibes. Like, he's like, you walk by it at night, and you're like, ugh.
Bad vibes, man.
Like, he doesn't say that, but that's, like, what he meant. And but he's like, but they say that Stilton was like a solid guy, and you ask what happened there, and he's like, oh, I heard rumors that some batshit rich choffers had a party, or maybe something weirder, and like after that night the Duke like stopped being such a useless noble and started doing wild shit.
Wow.
So yeah, I don't know, some that it was some party.
Yeah, you ever go to a party so intense you lock yourself in a manor for 3 years afterwards?
Yeah, I listen. It's a very, very rough hangover.
For sure.
But yeah, and then if you want, you can go talk to Mindy and have that nice conversation.
I like Mindy.
Love Mindy. But yeah, and then I think we covered everything else there, except, like, yeah, if you go to Durante's office, you can finally, like, get in there and get all that stuff. And yeah. If you want, you can go to the Silvergraph studio. Again, I didn't do it, and I can't imagine carrying both unconscious bodies there. It just sounds like a lot of work.
I mean, like, by the time I got to the Silvergraph studio, I had killed most everything in my way.
There you go. That'll do it.
So,
yeah, it's like, every time I play this mission, I'm like, oh, the Silvergraph studio, and then I try to get in, and then I can't, and then I forget about it.
Yeah, and because you can literally only get the key if you go to Palos, then to Liam's, then back to Palos, then to the studio. And every time I'm like, why can't I fucking get in? Let me in. And I like spend like 5 or 10 minutes trying to figure out, it's like, is there a window I need to go through?
Because like, usually it's like you can get around it if you need the key, but it's like, no, you need the key, man.
Yeah, they force you to get a key.
So yeah, we'll just never know if there's anything super special if you do that. Sorry, folks.
Well, we'll look at the ending.
Yeah, we'll find out in the, well, because it's like, I guess it's just like, I don't, yeah, I, we'll see if it's like different than if you just murdered them both.
Yeah, I mean, I was on the wiki and it says they learned to work together, so.
That's fucking hilarious, actually.
Yeah!
Because they're like stuck in their minds together, they're like, well, here we are.
Apparently so. Yeah, and I think that's pretty much the end of the Dust District.
Yep, you can, you go, you do the very complicated lock, and you get in, and get to do the fun, terrible mansion.
The fun, terrible mansion,
it's,
God.
It's extremely great.
This is my favorite mission, and I think it's incredibly well done, the next
it's
one.
It's so good. It's gonna be very hard to talk about, but yeah, it's so fun.
It's gonna be like, really impossible. Yeah. Think time travel.
Yeah, that's good.
I think that's it. Where are you on the internet?
You can find me on Tumblr or Twitter. Or I mean, don't go to my Tumblr. but it's the same, I guess. Anyway, you can find me on Twitter at Lucky Dice Kirby. Or you can find me, or you can find the podcast at Drunken Whalers. What about you, Claire?
You can find me on Twitter at Surrealist Trees. And the intro and outro music is Goosebeak Whale by Alps, and I will put a link to that in the show notes description. I've also felt an incredible urge to link my Tumblr because you did, but like, no thank you.
I mean, I just reblog dumb shit sometimes when I'm very bored at work. It's like how when I'm on my Kingdom Hearts Twitter, Claire is like, oh, you're bored at work, aren't you? And it's true.
Yeah, anytime I see Sarah on my Kingdom Hearts Twitter or on my real person Twitter, I'm like, Sarah's clearly bored at work.
Because I don't use those otherwise.
Yeah.
Listen, when the Kingdom Hearts DLC comes back, I'll use that account again.
Uh-huh, I believe you.
Okay, time to go play more Fire Emblem.
Oh my god, bye.